I'm Anthony Walsh, and this is the Romance Cycling Podcast, the show where we empower you with the tools to optimize your health, your happiness, and your longevity. In today's episode, I want to explore the link between stress and spinal health with Dr. Peter Maritone. We're in an age now where screens seem to dominate our lives, for better or worse, and we're going to dive into how this digital lifestyle impacts our spine and what we can do to counteract these effects without giving up our gadgets. Dr. Maritone is going to give us a really simple lifestyle tweak to protect our spinal health. He's going to talk a little bit about the importance of physical activity, the role of diet, sleep hygiene, and an absolute cracker on sleep posture, which I have since implemented. Here's a little taste of what awaits you today.
I can use my phone and have all my apps on. That's not necessarily bad, but if I never plug it in, I'm going to wear the phone out. So the key to life is balance, balancing your lifestyle so that your body adapts in a strong performance way and then be able to plug in and recharge at night when you're sleeping. I can look at somebody and tell them what's going on internal by the way that they're standing. Basically, your posture is a blueprint to what's going on internal. Your injury, all it's doing is exacerbating or exploiting the underlying dysfunction. So a lot of times somebody falls down, they get a little whiplash, and then their neck bothers them. Normally, if there's no problem in your neck, that's going to just clear out in 3 or 4 weeks. Well, when it creates long-term standing, let's say labrum tears or lower back issues, it's because there's already an underlying dysfunction that hasn't been recognized.
Before we get into today's episode, I have some exciting news to share with you. It's been a game changer recently for me, making a marked difference in my performance, especially when it comes to my sleep. Let me introduce you to Pillar. Pillar is a company that's on a mission to fuse pharmaceutical precision with sports supplementation for athletes just like us. Okay, so we're all familiar with electrolytes and carbohydrates in our race preparation, but Pillar's taking a different route. It's focusing on something called micronutrition. It ensures you're ready to perform even before you hit the start line. It's all about promoting a good night's sleep. It's facilitating effective recovery and replenishing those critical micronutrients so you can perform at your best. Over the past month, I've been incorporating Pillar's triple magnesium into my routine. Every night, I take it 30 minutes before bed, and I've seen a remarkable improvement in my sleep quality. You'll know that I'm back using a Whoop device tracking my sleep, and the results of that improvement are there in black and white. I've had about a 10% bump in my restorative sleep since I started taking Pillar. I'm waking up feeling refreshed every morning, ready to attack work, podcast, training, and just the next day in general. But don't just take my word for this. Try it and let the data on your fitness tracker tell you the story. So if you're ready to elevate your performance and your sleep quality, why not give Pillar a try? Head over to pillarperformance.shop and use the code ROADMAN on your local website for 15% off your first order. Or for US listeners, head over to thefeed.com/pillar and use the code ROADMAN for the same 15% off your first order. The details of both of these are in today's show notes. Now let's get into the show. Peter, welcome to the Roadman Podcast.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate you having me.
How are you today?
Unbelievable. I'm getting ready to go for a mountain bike ride right after this, so I'm excited.
Nice. Everyone doesn't answer the question like that. How are you? People are busy. And when I hear that answer, busy, I often think stressed, because stressed and busy are kind of the same thing. How is our emotional and mental state, how is that intertwined with the physical health of our spine?
Well, you got to look at, let's define the word stress, right? Stress is a force that causes change. So you can have eustress or distress, right? So eustress is a positive stress that causes change in the positive standpoint. Distress is a negative stress, which causes your body to react negatively. So really, if your body is alive, it's adapting, and it's adapting to stress on a regular basis. In stress, we categorize it in 3 areas. Emotional stress, yes, is one of them, but there's also physical stress and biochemical stress, what you put into your system and what you do to your body. So let's say a positive physical stress would be exercise, right? Your body's adaptation to exercise is better fitness. The adaptation to be in a couch potato, which is lack or distress, is degradation and the body breaks down. And the same thing for, you know, eating a pizza versus eating a salad. So when you talk about emotional stress or your body running from a tiger, which is a stress, which is good if you're being chased by a tiger because your physiology changes to keep you alive. But your body doesn't care if you're actually running from a tiger or you think you're running from a tiger. So if you're emotionally stressed and you always think you're running from a tiger, your body's physiology is going to adapt and suppress your vital growth systems, which are your reproductive systems, your digestive tract, and your immune system. So when you make the statement, oh, we're living a stressed life, how does that affect your physiology? We're all connected. So when you're running from a tiger, you tend to be like really tight and stiff. You have this forward head posture. And I can just look at people and read their neurology based on the way that they're standing and know if they're being, if they're overly emotionally stressed or they're in a place of zen.
So when I think about stress, even in a physical context, so we need stress, we need stimulus. If we're a runner, cyclist, rower, whatever, we need stress in the form of training to get better, to make that physiological adaptation. So stress in itself isn't really a problem. It's when we take on more stress than we can handle is a problem. And that's in a sporting context, it's somebody who trains more than they're giving their body enough bandwidth to recover from. Is that the same in other areas, like emotional well-being? It's not stress is the problem, it's the surplus of stress is the problem.
It's the same thing as saying, and I love analogies because of my ADD. So it's the same thing as saying, listen, if I'm using my phone, I can use my phone and have all my apps on. That's not necessarily bad. But if I never plug it in, I'm going to wear the phone out. So the more that you use it and expect performance out of your phone, you need plug-in time. And that's really where the dysfunction comes in. Because if we're always adapting to running from a tiger, your body's just going to fail and shut down because it needs downtime. So the key to life is balance. Balancing your lifestyle so that your body adapts in a strong performance way and then be able to plug in and recharge at night when you're sleeping.
You picked up your phone there and most people will pick up their phone. I don't know what the data is on it, but I actually can't even read a book anymore without getting my phone and putting it in a drawer in another room. It's just this urge we all have in a modern society to pick up our phone or an iPad or have a TV on all the time. How does this digital lifestyle, how, if at all, does that affect our posture?
Well, that's really what I dove the last 24 years of my chiropractic experience in before I was in the sleep industry, is understanding why I see arthritic degenerative changes in 10-year-old patients now. You know, where we used to see it in much older individuals, but we're seeing degeneration on spinal x-rays at such a young age. And that's because of all of this forward head posture stuff that we're doing. And, you know, if there are a few laws in the body that body posture adjusts to head position. So whether you're cycling, whether you're on a computer, whether you're on your phone, and then you're reinforcing that feeling protected, curled up in a ball while you're sleeping, body posture is adjusting to that head position. So we see people walking around with this tech neck or this forward head posture, yeah. And then it's destroying the structure from the head all the way down to the feet. Like when you build a building, you build a strong foundation up. The body works very opposite. It works on level in the eyes down. So when you're not happy with your posture, you got to look at your lifestyle and what you're doing.
Is there simple adjustments that we can make without giving up our gadgets to mitigate these damages and changes?
Absolutely. You adapt or adopt what we call a corrective sleeping position. That's, you start like that for the first 10 minutes, hour. You fall asleep in the position that we want you in. And that's on your back with the pillow under your neck and the weight of your head off of the back of the pillow, so that you're stretching that curve back into the neck.
So is it almost like the pillow is kind of at your lower skull? Or give us a demo if you have a pillow. For anyone listening on podcast, this is going to be bizarre, but if you're watching on video, it'll make sense.
So what we're doing is we're using a neck nest here, but I'm putting, my head is off of the back of this, of the pillow of the neck nest, and then the weight of my head is not being supported. And that's key, because when you support, you weaken. Remember, the body reacts to stress. In the absence of stress, the body will deteriorate. So
it's like one of those pillows we use on a flight where it's going around the neck first.
Going around the neck first. And then what you'll see is that the weight of your head is a stress. It's stressing the neck in what's called distraction. And your body will respond to that gentle stretching of the neck by restoring the curve.
Obviously, physical exercise is a cornerstone of health and longevity. Is there specific movements, specific exercises we should be thinking about incorporating into our, you know, daily routines to stave off some of these? Because I have this image almost, I'm not sure how long an evolutionary change takes to happen, probably hundreds of years, but I have this image of almost us evolving as this bent over species, because everything we're doing now is, it's desks, it's laptops, it's phones. Like, how do we stave off this?
Yeah, remember what I said is that the body posture is adjusting to head position. So what you need to do, and what's causing this, is atrophy or degeneration within your vestibular and proprioceptive senses. So what that means is we're losing our ability to balance in space, because we sit down too much and we always have this forward head posture. So by coupling sleeping on your back, or starting on your back with a pillow under your neck, not supporting the head, that's key, that's important. And then when you're standing upright, you buy a wobble board and you start working on your balance, and all you're trying to do is maintain balance, because you can't balance with forward head posture. You really want to balance with the head upright. So you couple stretching your neck back at night when you're sleeping, and then during the day, you work about 5 to 10 minutes on your balance every day, and you'll have great posture.
I remember being a soccer player back in the day and having ankle injuries, and one of the things you retrained was that proprioception on the wobble board. So you'd start out and you'd have two-legged drills where you're, you know, both feet planted on the wobble board and try and balance. And then as you advance, you might be building up to throwing a tennis ball against a wall and trying to catch it on the wobble board. And then eventually when you got good at it, you were like 1 foot centered the wobble board and trying to bounce the tennis ball off the wall. And it doesn't sound that challenging, but it's a super difficult exercise.
Super difficult. And think about people that sit their ass in a chair, for 8 hours a day, and you're not standing on your feet. You're actually atrophying the brain. So, and then that's how we're losing our posture. You want to re-challenge that by working on a wobble board. And like you said, start small and then move up to where you're balancing, because you have to offset that sitting down all day long.
Roadman, 60 grams of carbohydrates per hour. That's the minimum recommended intake for your rides. Most people don't know that. Focusing on nutrition and fueling, it can make or break your performance, but it can be really difficult to find a high carb source that tastes great and isn't really tough on your digestive system. I've been cut out, if you know what I mean, a few times with GI stomach issues, and that's because of highly processed bars and gels. That's why I love VeloForte. These products never give me any gastro problems. That's because they're packed with real fruit, natural electrolytes, and they taste absolutely great. I love the chews, the Mela Apple Flavor Chew. It won the Great Taste Award. These chews are 100% natural. They're made with the purest electrolytes. They're a game changer. For me, it's something with the texture. It's a different texture from a gel, and it's so welcome at the later stages of a ride. I've got an amazing offer for you to go and check out for yourself, because I want you to test this product out. If you head over to veloforte.com and you use the code ROADMAN30 at checkout, you're going to get 30% off your order. That's ROADMAN30, and you're even welcome to share this code with your club or friends or teammates so they can check these out too. Roadman, I'm going to date myself here, but I've been riding the bike for almost 20 years. And in that time, I've cycled through every cycling apparel brand out there. And I kept swapping out different apparel brands each season until I found Lacoste. There's something really different about Lacoste, and as soon as you slip into the gear, you notice it feels different. It feels better. I've had the pleasure of chatting with Yanto Barker on the podcast. He's the Lacoste founder, and his dedication to crafting the fastest, most refined cycling apparel out there, it's nothing short of inspiring. Yanto isn't just trying to create gear. I get the feeling he's actively and obsessively trying to perfect cycling gear. Trust me, as soon as you slip on the Lacoste kit, as soon as you zip up that jersey, you can feel that commitment. The proof for Lacoste, it's in the pudding. This is the same kit that Jay Hindley wore when he clinched overall victory in the Giro d'Italia. There's a confidence that comes with wearing apparel that's been battle-tested and podium-proven in races like the Giro d'Italia. Trust me, feeling good on the bike means you're going to perform better. If you have a second, I highly advise you to jump on over to lacoste.cc and check out their amazing range of kit and experience this feeling for yourself. The zeitgeist has really, you know, it's been so focused on longevity and hacks and stuff like this for the last couple of years. And there's prominent influencers, you know, Peter Attia, Huberman, who are really pushing the health agenda. Do you think balance is an overlooked area?
Not even a question. And we are going to be forward leading an industry, because when you're looking at posture and structure, I can look at somebody and tell them what's going on internal by the way that they're standing. Basically, your posture is a blueprint to what's going on internal. And as a culture, we do not understand that. And that information has never been put together before. So with great accuracy now, let's say somebody comes into my office, I put all of their intake forms face down. And by looking at them and asking them a few questions, I tell them what they wrote on there to be able to give them an understanding of how important your structure and your posture is, not just to pain in your neck or pain in your back, but how it's an indicator or a window into your health internally by just the way that you're standing.
So talk to me about that. What's the links? What's the data saying? If somebody's, you know, slightly slouched looking round the shoulders, I'm probably projecting here from a, you know, a couple of decades of riding the bike, long hours, that I'm definitely more rounded at the top and shoulders almost coming in. What's that a window into?
So basically the way that you're standing and the way that looking at you, I would assume that you've sprained your right ankle. And then when you turn your head, you don't turn your head as far to the left side, which tells me that your head's translated over to the right side, which puts pressure on a nerve back there in my little podcast studio here. It's called your vagus nerve. So when you have vagal pressure or vagus nerve pressure based on the way that your head structure is, you're going to suppress three areas: your hormonal system or your reproductive system, your digestive system, and your immune system. So all three areas of those, due to forward head posture and then translation of the neck and body posture following that, you suppress the parasympathetic nervous system. And that's kind of the connection between posture and health.
And what's the fix?
So the fix, you find a good chiropractor, have that scar tissue in your head, then your neck released. Sleep on your back with a pillow under your neck, stretching the neck back, and work on your balance so that you realign your posture. And when you're able to do that, then the last thing that you do is you work on your psoas major muscle that's been adapting to a forward head posture, which is causing a hip misalignment. And the psoas is the only muscle in the human body that attaches directly to a disc. So when you're a cyclist like I am, I'm a mountain biker, I herniated my disc about 10 years ago, not because I had a bad lower back problem, but because I had forward head posture with the reactive psoas major muscle that was pulling on my disc.
I think that's a brilliant point, because we're so culturally indoctrinated in sports like cycling, or even, you know, in your part of the world, American football, hockey, to take in these big hits. And, you know, I always say to people, like, there's no easy crash. We trivialize it by using expressions like it's just road rash. It's just some, you know, surface level abrasions. But the effect that those small surface level minor collisions have, it must be profound on our entire system in terms of misalignment.
Well, a lot of times what happens, depending, like say somebody's a cyclist and they're 35, 40, let's say 45, your injury, all it's doing is exacerbating or exploiting the dysfunction, the underlying dysfunction. So a lot of times somebody falls down, they get a little whiplash and then the neck bothers them. Normally, if there's no problem in your neck, that's going to just, you know, clear out in 3 or 4 weeks. Well, when it creates long-term standing, let's say labrum tears or lower back issues, it's because there's already an underlying dysfunction that hasn't been recognized. And that's due to the postural misalignments.
In kind of light of this, everything being interconnected, I'm wondering, is there a role of diet and supplementation in this as well?
Well, you know, when you look at, I'm a minimalist and I do take supplementation, but I change it seasonally. I believe just like our nutritional needs change, so don't our supplement needs. You know, I'm a big, don't eat the same way all the time. You can have the same blueprint or structure how you eat, like intermittent fasting and stuff like that, but you want to diet vary. So you should supplement vary also. A good high quality multivitamin, then, you know, if you're cycling a lot, you want to replenish, you know, electrolytes.
But there's nothing specific you don't think that's like the kind of overlooked postural supplement?
Nope, it's just hydration. You want to stay hydrated, want to make sure that you have enough oils in your systems, like olive oils. And as far as supplementation, if there's degeneration within the end plates of the joint and you're trying to reestablish new end plates, and you make those end plates stronger by creating a little bit of instability, and then what supplement helps create stability would be like glucosamine or some proteoglycans, like glucosamine, you know, some joint support and stuff like that. But in general, I don't really have a supplement protocol that I follow when I'm trying to bring somebody's structure back.
A few years ago, I saw a huge gap in the market for an app that was like a cycling coach, but in your pocket. I knew that AI was ultimately going to be the best coach in the world. And I spent about 2 years of my life trying to make this app happen. Unfortunately for me, it didn't happen. But ever since then, I've kept a really close eye on this space to see if anyone else could succeed where I failed. The Breakaway app caught my attention a couple of months ago because Christian Van de Velde, yep, the Christian Van de Velde who came fourth in the Tour de France, is one of the co-founders. And it seems that the Breakaway have created the ultimate cycling training companion, and they're bringing low-cost coaching to the masses. You'll know from listening to the podcast that my pet peeve is when cyclists head out the door with no plan, no goal, and just roll around without an objective. Don't be that guy! The Breakaway app looks at all your historic training data and it builds a plan around your strengths and weaknesses, so you're always going to have the perfect session. They also have integrations which I'm really excited about, Whoop and Oura Ring. The reason I've previously ditched my wearables is because the data just wasn't informing my training. No longer the case. Head on over to roadmantrial.com and you can download their app for free. That's roadmantrial, roadmantrial.com, and download the app for free. The link to this is in today's show notes. Sleep hygiene has emerged into common vernacular in the last probably 12 months. I've become aware of it, where I started setting an evening alarm clock and say, okay, well, that's the time now where devices go off, or they go into, you know, maybe blue blocker glasses like RA Optics or something go on. Lights start getting dim. Then you kind of start working through your sleep routine. Some people refer to it as sleep hygiene. Do you think sleep position should be considered as part of optimum sleep hygiene?
Not even question. Part of our program, we do sleep programs. It's the 10-minute sleep protocol. Basically, all you really need to focus on with your sleep is the first 10 minutes of what you do and going up to sleep, and then how you fall asleep. And if you can, you're only in control consciously of putting yourself to sleep. So what our focus is putting yourself to sleep correctly to be able to give your body the best chance to reverse the damaging effect of the modern day lifestyle. And so yes, sleep posture, we call it the corrective sleeping position, is critically important in being able to not just, you know, the experts, they all talk about sleep in recharge and repair, right? Re-energize, you know, have more energy when you wake up, repair, but they all miss the boat when it's talking about alignment in sleeping position, because all their studies that are done on rats would have totally different structures than the human spine. And they talk about lymphatic drainage and all of these other variables that are significantly insignificant when it comes down to losing the structure of your cervical spine and the detrimental effect that that has on health.
Do you think that's because it's more difficult to measure? Like, we can quite easily do a study on even a home study, you know, sample study group of one, on if I change my temperature in my bedroom by 5 degrees, what effect does that have on my heart rate variability, on my levels of deep sleep? Because wearables like Whoop or a Ring have become such common use, and it's more difficult to measure spinal health. Do you think that's the reason why it's not talked about as much?
Yeah, so it's very easy to measure spinal health. The problem is the current model, medical model, doesn't understand it. They don't understand the correlation between structure and function. They think structure and function are disconnected. And so, for instance, if you wanted 30%, there's something that's called heart rate variability. You want a 30% improvement in your heart rate variability, improve your cervical spine, improve the structure of your cervical spine, because by doing that, you're going to improve vagus nerve function, you're going to balance your HRV out. And when we're at high level performance and we're trying to get the most of our body, the biggest thing is recovery. And you can't recover with forward head posture putting pressure on the nerve that is really dedicated to growth and development and recharging, which is your vagus nerve. 85% of all of your healing comes through that nervous system. But nobody talks about it. Nobody understands it, because they all look at all of these other variables that they're trying to correlate, but the missing link, or the elephant in the room to me is, well, look at the structure of their spine. That the spine protects the central nervous system, which drives me crazy.
So what are the studies saying on if we adopt this position, what changes can we expect or have been observed in like demonstrable data? Like you said, heart rate variability, has been a change in that. How long did it take to see these changes, and how were these studies set up?
So now let's look at the studies. Those studies aren't specifically done on position in this. They're doing stuff more on heart, right? They're doing stuff on the clearing of the vena cava and the lymph systems. Nobody's looking at structure and overall health, so the structure of your spine. So you have to extrapolate the studies. So you extrapolate the studies where, you know, you're putting improved cervical function helps with this. Improved structure helps with this. So the one that we did, we put 50 Oura rings on patients, and then we had them sleeping in specific positions, and then I analyzed their data. And on average, we saw a 25 to 30% improvement, or 20 to 30% improvement in HRV, just based on them doing sleeping on their back for 3 to 6 months.
And does a mattress matter? Like, I've had Dr. Dan Plews on the podcast, who's an expert on heart rate variability. His PhD is in that area, and he's widely published on it. One of the ways that you can get a quick bump in HRV is using these Shakti mats. They're a modern interpretation of a bed of needles. Have you observed that on what this sort of thing does to your posture? Because it's, I'm wondering almost, can we get into a situation where we're using one kind of hack, for want of a better word, like a Shakti mat, and it's improving our heart rate variability, but maybe there's also a compromise to our spinal health with something like this?
Yeah, so that's a good point. We talk a lot about beds, and the bed becomes less important than the posture, right? So once you get the posture down, you have to understand, when we sleep, we want our weight distributed over the greatest surface area. So the greatest surface area of the human body is on your back with your neck supported. So you have much less pressure points, and the bed becomes much less important as you adopt a sleeping position. So the first thing you want to do is get the sleeping position down correct. Then what you can do, like for instance, we have a lake house, and we really dislike the bed up the lake, because when we bought the house, there was already a bed there. We bought all the furniture. So what did we do? Instead of getting, because the mattress was very, very firm, which is okay, instead of getting rid of the mattress, as we know, because you're going to go from mattress to mattress to mattress, and you're not going to like things because your posture's down, your structure's down. So we're sleeping on our back. All we did is we bought pillow tops, put those on top of the mattress. Now the mattress is fine. So when you get the posture down correctly, it takes little adjustments within the sleeping, your sleeping environment that you have right now to be able to make it work. When you're sleeping on your side and you're twisted, you're gonna hate your bed. You're gonna hate your pillows. You're going to go from pillow to pillow to pillow, bed to bed to bed, because you're trying to sustain unsustainable positions because of all of this research that is leading you down the wrong path, and it's not looking at the not asking the right questions.
If I started sleeping like this, observationally, how long would it take me to notice differences, changes, and what changes would I expect to notice?
So it all depends on how much arthritic change, how old you are, how much arthritic change is in your spine, because you have to understand arthritis is like, or scar tissue within the joint, which is what causes arthritis, is like hard. It was like, let's say you have moldable clay. You're younger, your clay is moldable, spine's moldable. You do damage, get road rash, whiplash in car accidents. We are our horrible posture. What ends up happening is we end up getting this hardened clay. So our clay dries out. So it becomes less moldable. You can still mold the clay, but it takes longer to mold that clay. So for instance, the average individual, let's say 40 years old, has stage one, stage two degeneration. It's going to take you about one to three months to be able to really get this positioning down. If the younger the individual, the quicker it's going to be. The older the individual, sometimes it can take up to a year. But the habit isn't that you become a back sleeper. The habit is that you fall asleep in the position that you're in control of for the first 10 minutes of your sleep cycles.
And if you find yourself in the middle of the night where you wake up and you go out for a piss in the middle of the night and you come back into bed, are you trying to get back into that optimum sleep position again? Every time you notice yourself, are you trying to get yourself back into it again? Much in the same way, you're meditating and your mind starts to wander and then you bring it back to the breath.
I want to be real careful by saying yes. My professional opinion and what do? Yes, I go right back to that same position because that's a comfortable position for me. If you're worrying about your positioning all night long and that positioning your body is still not used to, you can cause more discomfort in falling asleep. I don't want you to, the sleep habit is how you fall asleep. If you wake up and you're in pain and you try to go back on that because your ribs aren't ready for it, it's causing more pain. You do not want to stay in this position if it's still causing you pain, because pain will interfere with your ability to get back to sleep. And if you're worrying all night long that you're turning on your side and you keep just going back to your back, that's destroying your sleep patterns. So to answer your question, I guess, if the position isn't causing you much discomfort, yes, then go back and adopt that position.
And so talk to me about the neck nest.
Well, the neck nest is specifically designed because I was trying to stuff pillows underneath my neck to get that head off of the back of the pillow. So I was using, all sorts of different pillows to try to get, because you want your head unsupported off the back of the pillow. But then again, you want your head about a quarter of an inch off of the bed. So you don't want it being supported all the way down to the bed. So a lot of these cervical pillows, they'll go under your neck, but they also support your head. And if you support the head in the cervical curve at the same time, and then you let it go, it just drops, right? So you're losing the structure. So we designed the neck nest to be able to go right underneath your neck. Because the fill constricts, it slightly distracts, and it keeps your head about a quarter of an inch off of the bed. And that's the positioning that we start off with within our sleeping protocol. We start with positioning, then core temperature and then other things that we work with.
We're in a crazy changing time at the moment with, AI is advancing every single week so much faster. Is there anything in terms of technology coming down the pipeline that you're excited about in spinal correction?
Spinal correction, we try to correct everything in this world, right? In lieu of putting in the work and understanding what the work is, right? So we have all these posture things where they go around our shoulders and they hold our necks back. And then we have these devices that hold the neck back. And we got all this shit that we're trying to deal with. When the fundamental laws of the body adapt very specifically. So body structure and posture, we started the conversation stress. Your structure and your physiology is an adaptation to your daily stress, whether that's good stress or bad stress, whether it's the way that you're sleeping, whether it's the amount of time you spend at the computer. You can look at somebody and then read their structure. It's really getting more basic is where I'm more in line with, in becoming more raw in understanding that adaptability and then backing in a plan of lifestyle habits that move you more towards you stress and away from distress versus keep living the distress lifestyle and then buying all these gadgets that are trying to adapt to this horrible living that we're doing.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, and it's a nice place to leave us. Dr. Peter Martone, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.